Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky. Broadcasting in beautiful downtown San Francisco. This is Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. What a show we got today. I have absolutely no idea what Ray Ratto would do for fun, but today he's actually doing it. So he's not with us. It's Damon, it's Matt. And Matt, we have Bruce Bochy and Debo Samuel joining us today. Two guys who I know I want to hear from. I mean, Bruce Bochy kind of got some house credit in this town, to say the least. Very much looking forward to talking to him. And Debo Samuel has climbed all the way to the top of who's a very good wide receiver in the NFL. And I'm looking forward to talking to both guys. And we got an awful lot of stuff to chop up over the next 4 hours.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Debo climbed to the top of what wide receivers do I most love to watch round about the third game he ever played in the NFL. So I am excited to talk to him. And look, it's so interesting what's happening with the Giants. And I think Bruce Bochy can probably speak to that as well as anyone. I mean, 2010 was not exactly a year that the Giants came in looking like the best team in baseball. They didn't even go into the playoffs looking like the best team in baseball. So that makes it different.
But, or 14.
Well, right. But at least 12 and 14, you had 10 to say, no, these guys are pretty good.
Yeah.
10 kind of came out of nowhere. And I feel like he has some perspective on what that must be like.
Hey, Bruce, what do you know about a 98-win Giant team? Nothing. Nah, we're really looking forward to saying hello to Boch. Hopefully, you know, he spent his morning boating marlins and sail fishing and just
I don't know what season it is, but whatever season it is, I'm sure he's enjoying it.
I'm looking forward to like all kinds of happy Bochy noises. He's going to be joining us at 3 o'clock today.
Right.
Debo a little bit later on. It is a What If Wednesday. The hard questions, the stupid questions, we will ask them both of it this afternoon. And man, the Giants, the reason why they're so interesting is because they just grind, and they grind about as hard as any team out there. And last night, they won by grinding out a sequence of Texas League dingers to beat the Padres. And, you know, stinging defeats like that, when things are going in the wrong direction, it just feels like it's got a shot to linger. And we know that San Diego was in all sorts of a bad place before the Giants got to town. And that's one of those games that just got to have them, like, walking around the clubhouse today with their palms up in the air going, what do we do? What can we do? We were up 4-1. We took the lead late. Everything that looked like we could win a game was starting to kind of mojo in our direction. When Will Myers robs what could have been a go-ahead home run in the eighth inning, you think, all right, it's going to be our night, San Diego. And then, boom, it wasn't. And it wasn't like they got rocked. I mean, we're talking dying quails. That's a tough way to lose.
I would argue that when it comes to people who pitched in the ninth inning, Tyler Rogers got hit harder than Mark Melanson did last night.
Totally.
Like the contact. So, yeah, it's the worst. And as you sort of mentioned, like, it wasn't like the Padres rolled over and died. Far from it. The opposite, in fact, over the course of this game. I thought this thing was getting out of hand one out into it, right? Giants take the lead on the homer. They load the bases. I'm thinking, oh, man, San Diego really is in bad shape. This thing could get out of hand.
Fat, crooked number.
Yeah. No. Pitch out of it. Immediately tie it up. Go ahead the next inning. Pat on the inning after that. And then, okay, Giants come back, take the lead, come right back and score the run to equalize it. And you're thinking, boy, this is a game between two teams that really keep battling. And it was. And the Giants have won almost every game like that all year long. It's crazy how consistently they seem able to, in the baseball equivalent of that Niner-Eagle game Sunday, right? A lot of slobber-knocker baseball games have broken out for the Giants this year, and they seem to thrive on that.
They like it. The uglier, the better, almost. And, you know, when I saw... And I guess we got some, you know, we need to be a little bit concerned about what isn't happening with Kevin Gausman at times, a guy that I really think this team needs to depend on for any sort of postseason success. Looks less dependable now than he did certainly in the first half, where he was just crackerjack the whole way through. But he looks like he's got a little bit of a tired arm at times. It looks like the splitter's not splitting, the fastball's not locating. He's having trouble finding the strike zone, and it's just look. Manny Machado's going to hit home runs. That's what he does. And the Padres are built to go deep on you.
Those, though, I think you have to spell home run in all capital letters when it looks like that.
Yeah, when you keep on bouncing it off a building.
Oh, boom! God.
The Western Metal building got a workout last night.
He killed those two balls. Like, no doubt off the bat, oh, my God, that's a ridiculous home run. Killed him. And... nobody squared Gausman up like that for the first, what, 2.5 months of the season? Nobody. Yeah. It's weird because I remember right after the All-Star break when, you know, he was having family stuff and he missed a start and, you know, the All-Star game can throw you off, of course. I remember hearing Mike Kruko say, look, sometimes you lose the splitter and you lose it for a couple starts and then you find it again and everything will be okay. But... it's been, now, it's not to say he hasn't thrown any good splitters since the All-Star break, but he hasn't found like two starts in a row of good splitter since right. The All-Star break. And that, to me, seems worrisome because that sounds like more than just, you lose it for a few games a year. It's more like, I can't find it consistently anymore.
Yeah, it's a tough pitch to control. It's a tough pitch to master. And even if you do master it, it can still vanish on you. A little bit of a Houdini situation going on for Kevin Gausman right now. And if the Giants are going to do something that is grandiose, it feels like he needs to be pulling on the rope the right way for sure. Didn't exactly happen last night, but again, the Giants just continue to survive. It's a night that they kind of needed to survive because the Dodgers took a late extra inning lead in Colorado and held on for the win for a moment there. The Giants were down a couple of runs and only up a half a game, and then just chip, chip, chipping away. It's what they do. And Lamont Wade Jr., I mean, sometimes life is timing. And that guy's got some timing for clutch hits in the ninth inning. He has really turned into an at-bat that you can believe in. And I thought, because Fernando Tatis makes that catch often, that guy has got a standing jump and a vertical that you would think would come with an NBA player. I mean, he can get up. And if that ball had been 2 inches lower than it was, that's an out. The decision by Ron Wotus to send Brandon Belt around, who is not a speed demon, but as Gabe Kapler said, is a smart enough runner to know what to do in a lot of situations. We got some really interesting sound coming out of last night's game. The manager, the players talked about it. We've got interesting sound today coming out of Santa Clara. We got Kyle Shanahan talking about who might be a running back. Could Frank Gore be a running back again? It sounds like he said, I'm not interested in Frank Gore, in the nicest way possible. And to spin it in any other direction is probably someone who is dying to see Frank Gore on this team. I don't think it's a keep on waiting, it might happen. It was basically we understand that he's a break glass in case of emergency, and we're not even at that emergency, and knowing what an emergency they're kind of in over their running back situation. There is something there. We've got a couple of roster moves to tell you about for sure. We got a couple of things from the NBA to dive into today. We've got some very interesting news all around, to say the least. So we're looking forward to having a couple of great interviews and a conversation with you today. 888-957-9570 is the number. It's week three in the NFL, and we've got three quarterbacks on the move in terms of moving up the depth chart, one in Chicago, one in Houston, and one that is heading to Las Vegas. Tua's got fractured ribs, and there's no Deshaun Watson on the radar pinging anywhere. So we'll tell you who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans before it's all said and done today.
Although, why bother? Because you've never heard of him.
You got to be a football fan to know the life and times of Kevin Mills.
Oh, man.
Here's the thing. Does anyone even know that's not his real name? It's not Kevin. It's David Mills.
I mean, I know it's not his real name, but only because he's come to light in the last day and a half, really.
It's like one of those things where John Oliver will be saying, you know, in the country of Belarus, and then the map will be lit with a country that's not Belarus. He's like, that's not Belarus. That's Belarus. And then 2 minutes later, he's like, that's not Belarus either. That's Belarus. So it's one of those, who is this guy? Well, you'll find out this weekend, I do guess.
I did not remember, as Lucas just said in my ear, that he went to Stanford. So that shows you how close attention I'm paying.
Look, Stanford has not cranked out a lot of great quarterbacks since Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck's father is suing Vince McMahon for like over $24 million, getting fired for being the commissioner of the XFL. So maybe we'll have to get into that today just a little bit. And we are officially underway here. Damon Ratto and Kolsky sans Mr. Ratto this afternoon, which means the third voice on the show today, when it's not Bruce Bochy or Deebo Samuel stomping on by, can be yours. Looking forward to talking to you. 888-957-9570. We're brought to you by MB Jesse Painting. Is your business, your high-rise, your HOA in need of quality painting right now? Teams are returning to offices, so make it pretty once again. MB Jesse Painting offers the most trusted painting services in the Bay Area, completing projects on time. That's what they do. Get a free quote today from the Bay Area's painting experts, mbjesse.com. That is mbjesse.com. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on a What If Wednesday here on 95.7 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Demon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Download the Odyssey app, favorite 95.7 The Game. You get breaking news, all of our interviews, best moments from the station. Plus, you take it anywhere you go. Powered by DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. As we just got into commercial break, Kolsky turned around and said, "Did you hear what happened to Minnesota?" And I said, "No, what about the Vikings?" And he said, "No, it's not the Vikings, it's the Timberwolves." I said, "Well, what happened?" All right, what happened?
They have let their GM go, essentially. The names are all weird in this sort of stuff now. I guess he was technically the president of basketball operations or some such thing. But Gerson Rosas, who, known as sort of a Daryl Morey guy in Houston, got the job fairly recently as the head of the Timberwolves. I want to say maybe 2 years ago. And he is out today. And first of all, it's surprising to have a change at that level of management at this point on the calendar. Like, that in and of itself is just odd.
Right, we're playing basketball in a month from now.
We're playing basketball in like a week. The first preseason game is like 10 days away.
Right.
Monday is media day, if I'm not mistaken. So he did the whole offseason. And yeah, he was hired on May 1st of 2019, and not to like give the guy a break for a bad team, but it was a terrible team when he got there. And most of the time he's been there has been a pandemic. So he clearly has not really, there's no good way to evaluate his job performance to this point, right? But he was allowed to run the entire offseason, and today was let go, and not just let go, but let go in a way that, reading from the ESPN article, the timing of Rosas's dismissal caught players and other members of the organization by surprise, sources told ESPN's Ramona Shelburne and Zach Lowe. Rosas was still holding meetings and was in the gym Wednesday morning. Now, for those of you who are not paying close attention to the calendar, today is Wednesday.
This morning.
That means today.
He's walking around as business as usual, and then things got unusual.
And it's going to be Vice President Sachi Gupta, who's being promoted to the head of basketball operations for now. But look, we don't know what happened here. Maybe Gerson Rosas drove drunk and is being, you know, fired because...
We don't know.
We have no idea.
We have absolutely no idea what happened.
Number of weird things that happened. But what I can say is the first thing I thought is they've got new ownership. And look, new ownership could have just said, he's not my guy, I want a different guy. And that would explain it. But the first thing that ran through my head is they got new ownership. New ownership likes to make splashy moves. Ben Simmons has been sitting out there on the trade market for God knows how long now. The Timberwolves have repeatedly been mentioned as one of the teams who might be interested, and nothing is happening. There's no progress being reported on whatsoever. I wonder if that's because Gerson Rosas wasn't willing to do it, and the owner said, well, I'm going to find me a guy who will.
Is that the best way to go about a negotiation with Daryl Morey? By the very first move to make that go along is you trim one of his branches.
I don't know.
Just a weird way to go about it. And we're just speculating as to what it might be. Have absolutely no idea. But the timing is beyond odd and curious. Really, nothing happens in the NBA that surprises anyone as a news item, especially when it involves a high-ranking member of a team. There is usually a little bit of a leak, or there is at least a corresponding story of, you know, trouble in Denmark coming. And for it to just happen to where it sounds like he was as surprised as anybody is really an odd thing in sports today.
Here is the one public response we have from a member of the organization. Carl Anthony Towns at 12:22 p.m. today tweeted...
That's exactly 2 hours ago. Well, 3 hours ago with the time difference.
No, that's our time. So it was 2 hours ago.
Oh, okay.
Tweeted three letters and three periods. WTF ellipsis.
Hey now.
So clearly it wasn't Carl Anthony Towns' idea. Now, I'm not saying you keep a GM just because your star player likes him, but this is weird. It's a weird move. It comes out of nowhere. And I don't know, for like listening to a lot of NBA coverage, Gerson Rosas is a highly respected guy, and people were not down on what he was doing in Minnesota.
It's so, an odd bit of news for many reasons. The procedure, the standard operating procedure, is not in play in terms of firing someone as a high-ranking executive. The timing of it all is odd based on it happening in the middle of a week and it happening with the season just around the corner. And for no one to come out and have an X marks the spot, just, I'm going to lob a hand grenade, here's what happened. Like, no one really knows what happened, and it might be about Ben Simmons' theory. Right now, at this particular time, carries as much water as any other theory of what might happen that anyone could throw out there. What I think is odd is how a fact that we've known for weeks can be co-opted into a piece of breaking news weeks after the fact. And I'm talking about Joe Lacob, who I guess through a conversation he had with somebody, the news that he is not interested in Ben Simmons or certainly doubts Ben Simmons' fit with the Golden State Warriors came front and center. And I saw Twitter talking about it. And
old pal Rusty Simmons, by the way, who he was talking to.
Is it Rusty?
Yeah.
Who had that in piece of news? Okay, so Rusty got something out of Lacob that I thought Lacob had already put on the record, saying that that is a price point that is a non-starter for us. Plus, I don't think the fit necessarily is ideal based on the fact we think we're going to be playing important four quarters, and he seems like a player who might be rendered obsolete in the waning minutes of a fourth quarter based on the fact that he's afraid to go to the free throw line or shoot the basketball. So Lacob is kind of insinuated, really not interested at the price of $400 million. Which is, after tax, what he would cost over the... basically, $500 million for Ben Simmons. Are you interested?
Now, look.
And he said no, and that's news again today. And I'm not salting on Rusty here. It's the way things get picked up and bandied about is, ooh, I'm learning about this today. I feel like we've known about this for weeks.
Certainly, the dots were there to connect for months. Since the NBA draft, you could have connected these dots. We've known Simmons was unhappy. We know, based on our own conversation with Bob Myers, the sort of offers that Philadelphia was looking for when Bob talked to Daryl Morey early in the offseason, and that was never going to happen.
Has the statute of limitations run out on the confidentiality that we sort of promised Bob in the moment of? Because we were there the day of the draft.
Yeah.
And it wasn't too long after we talked to Bob that he clearly got the phone call from Philadelphia where they asked for everything but Chase Center itself in return. And I mean, Bob essentially laughed with us about that asking price and their real level of interest, even if that asking price had been less than that. Like, the amount of "we ain't interested" was dripping off of Bob in the moment. And he said, "Let's not share this with the radio audience today, please." And we said, all right, yeah, of course, we're not gonna.
Yeah, you know. I don't think we've broken any confidences. And listen, it's always about the price. If the price turns out to be, just give us Andrew Wiggins and we'll be done with it. They'll be running to the phones, I promise. But the price last Joe Lacob heard was like one or two of his best young players, several future picks, and Andrew Wiggins, and maybe somebody else too, just for kicks. I don't think that makes the Warriors better. And even if you do, you know, whoever's responding to what Lacob said today, I think the quote that Rusty got from Joe is about as straightforward a middle of the road. I don't even want to say anti-Ben Simmons, but sort of the, you've seen that take.
The stating of the facts.
Every single Twitter conversation involving the Warriors and Ben Simmons, somebody has said basically what Joe Lacob said. That's a lot of money to invest in two guys who don't shoot the ball if we have Draymond and Simmons on the same team. And I just watched him fail in the fourth quarter of the playoffs, which is kind of a time we don't want to fail. Those are perfectly reasonable and valid reasons to question whether it's a fit. And he didn't say, under no circumstances will we ever trade for Ben Simmons. He said, I don't really see it as a good idea at this moment. And I just don't understand why that is surprising or upsetting to anyone.
It's weird. People just like, it's outrage du jour. People like to get upset about things that they even know about.
Yeah, I guess. I guess, because honestly, like, of all of the sort of kerfuffles that Joe Lacob saying stuff has caused, this is the most baffling to me, I think. I can understand to a degree why people get a little up in arms when he sounds like he's complaining about money. But that's really not what happened here. And also, worth noting, he may have complained, but he's never let it stop him from spending, so I don't know what people are upset about there either. But it's still like there's a logical line to follow. Correctly evaluating Ben Simmons, I can't for the life of me see why that would upset people.
Bonus points for using the word kerfuffle, by the way.
I love a kerfuffle.
The news about the Timberwolves is certainly surprising. That's why it's breaking news. That's why we're sharing it with you. It is odd. It is curious. It is unexplained. And those are branches we love hanging off of on Sports Talk Radio. So
it's a good time.
We'll try to figure it out, and maybe we'll even get to know what's going on before the end of the day as more news comes out of Minnesota as to why they made this move. We'll let you know that in about a half an hour from right now.
He's a competitor.
Is joining us for an interview. We're looking forward to saying hello to Bruce Bochy. Someone on the text line said, do you think we can get a Sanchi out of him? We'll try.
He's a horse.
We'll try.
He's a horse.
He's a competitor. We love Bruce Bochy, obviously, and we're looking forward to the conversation. Alex Dickerson is a guy whose conversation we look forward to. His future with the San Francisco Giants is a bit of a question mark right now. It really is. That's a guy who is a major league hitter that hit cleanup pretty much for the majority of his spots in the lineup. He was in that 3-4-5 range. He got dropped to eighth at one point, kind of performed pretty well for an eight-hole hitter, to say the least. If Alex Dickerson wasn't your cup of tea in a power slot as an eight-hole hitter, that was interesting. But he has struggled offensively in a year where struggling offensively is a good way to get yourself out of a San Francisco Giants lineup.
Especially if you're a lefty.
Especially if you're a lefty, and especially if Evan Longoria is back, which means we, for the most part, have Chris Bryant more comfortable in left field than in right field or in center field.
Eesh.
So it's just sort of like Alex Dickerson might have run out of music in a game of musical chairs. And we really hope to talk to him again, because there's certainly no shame involved in anything that he's going through this year. But his PR rep, Kathy Jacobson, who we certainly have a wonderful relationship with, said, we're sorry that, you know, Alex isn't going to come on with you today. Would you be interested in? We said, yeah. We'd love an interview with him.
Right, right.
He's coming up at 3 o'clock. We're really looking forward to saying hello to
Quickly,
Bruce Bochy.
On Dickerson?
Yeah.
The bummer of it, really, is that the month before this latest hamstring pull, if that's really what happened, he was on it.
It was coming.
Yeah. The last 26 games he played, 286 with an 851 OPS. Three homers, like he was coming around, and it was right around that time we talked all this through with him. There was a moment where it was like it was
on deck circle in Arizona,
and that's the game I have highlighted here. August 2nd in Arizona, he went 2-for-5 with 4 RBIs, and from that point on, he really was hitting the ball pretty well. It's just the timing was terrible, because that's also right around when the rest of the squad started to get fully healthy. And it just comes down to math. I mean, if he was an athletic right-handed hitter, Austin Slater would be getting sent down. But the lefties on this team who play outfield, you know, the only one who's not hitting as well as you'd like is Yaz, and he's got, what, like 25 homers or something like that? So we love Alex Dickerson, and I don't know who I'd send down to make room for him. I really don't. I don't think there's anybody.
It's a tough formula to crack. He probably doesn't come back without an injury.
Probably not. Probably not. Because the only options would basically be, I guess, Flores, but he can play the infield. You're obviously not sending down Lamont Wade. And Duggar has really been good and gives you more defensive flexibility. So it's just hard to find where you find the space for Alex, much as we love him and much as he was hitting the ball over the last month.
Sometimes you are the odd man out, and it looks like that of what happened to Alex Dickerson. But in 11 remaining games, let me do the math real quick. It's still at least 99 innings of baseball.
Yep.
And there's an awful lot that can happen to a baseball team in 99 innings of baseball. Last night, what a couple of big late innings the Giants had. Lamont Wade Jr., and I guess, you know, the clubhouse has gotten to calling him late night Lamont. Okay, do it again.
And a jam shot and a base hit. Belt is coming home. Do they have a play? They got him.
No.
No, he dropped it. Belt is going to score. Wade comes through again in the ninth.
Wow.
Wade comes through again in the ninth. It's almost something that you should get used to. This guy has, he's 15 of 24 in the ninth inning or later this season, which is, you know, good enough for a .625 batting average. 13 RBIs, 24 at bats. He is in the ninth inning. Barry Bonds. I mean, I just don't know what to say.
Barry Bonds wishes. That those are some of the... Say again, how many RBIs and how many at-bats?
13 RBIs and 24 at-bats. He is 15 of 24 in the ninth inning or later this season.
That's conservatively, that for a season is a 300 RBI pace.
It is, which would be a record.
Yes.
Fifth time since the All-Star break that he's delivered the go-ahead or the winning run in the ninth inning.
That's remarkable.
Now, I know that there are an awful lot of people who know more about baseball than guys like Matt or I ever will, and they want to insist that there's no such thing as clutch. I disagree. And even though you got math behind your argument, I got feeling behind mine. I got a little gut feeling behind mine. And Lamont Wade Jr. is a Major League Baseball player that, be honest, you never thought of once before he put on a Giants uniform. Never thought of him once. I can't think of the Giants without him now. That's how quickly he has fit in and elevated this team in the clutchiest of moments you could ask for.
And the beautiful thing about clutch, because I totally agree with you, is that it's just indefinable enough that we can look in the face of those stats that argue it doesn't exist and say, hogswaddle. I'm really on point today with the weird words. I've seen it. And I can explain why your silly math can't account for it. Like, clutch is indefinable. You can't just say ninth inning and later. You can't just say when the game is within this many runs. There's too many things that go into clutch. Not to mention, like, if you're hitting 300 in what's considered clutch, just because you hit 300 for the season doesn't mean that the clutch isn't having any effect, that there's no such thing as clutch, right? Like, those moments can be harder. Those moments, you're usually facing better pitching if we're talking about baseball. Like, there are some things in sports in general that you could trick yourself into disproving with statistical analysis, but you can't possibly argue don't exist if you watch.
Right. It's like the working Supreme Court definition of pornography.
That's right.
I can't define it, but I know it when I see it.
Just like I've known for years how clutch Brandon Crawford is. Because it's just, he's just there when those big moments come along. I trust him more than anyone else. And there's a reason for it.
The Grand Slam in Pittsburgh in a year he wasn't doing anything.
There are just some guys, and look, even if he becomes the greatest clutch hitter of all time, .625 with an RBI every other at bat is not going to stand for Lamont Wade over a long, large sample size. Of course, nobody can do that. But there's just no doubt that there's something about what that guy does in the biggest moments that make him more likely to succeed than the average player.
Text line. Totally disagree, guys. There's no such thing as fetch. Nice. Stop trying to make it happen then. Let's hear from Lamont Wade Jr., who has been given the nickname. That was me. It was a little bit of itchy trigger finger. I'm not going to lie. The amount of concern that washed over Grandy Maldonado's face. I mean, you're clutch. He knew he wasn't responsible for that.
Kolsky gave me a look. I was like, hey, that wasn't me, man.
That was me. It was my fault. I'm going to step on that one. Lamont Wade Jr. has been listening to the clubhouse, the nickname. He likes it, but wish it would apply to earlier innings too.
I've been hearing the nicknames and everything like that. I mean, I guess that's pretty cool. the guys, some of the guys in there laugh about it and talk and say it in the locker room. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, anytime that you can help out this team win, I mean, it's just a great feeling. So you definitely want to keep that going. And hopefully it can be early game Lamont at some point. But if it's got to be late night, then it's late night.
Yeah,
you'd rather be all day, but late night's pretty cool.
Right. If your name were Antonio, maybe that would have been an option, but it's not. Starts with an L, so we're going with late night. That's the way that works. Giants fans and their nicknames. But if it does come out of the clubhouse, and I know that he did say the word locker room, but even Lamont Wade is going to get, he'll get fined in kangaroo court for that, by the way. Locker rooms. Come on. Learn the lingo. It's a clubhouse in Major League Baseball. Anyways, when you're hitting 650 in the ninth inning, call it whatever the hell you want. it's a game last night that the Giants looked like they were ready to lose two or three different times. And, of course, they come out to win it. They needed to win it. If it's all about keeping up with the Joneses in this case are the Los Angeles Dodgers, who looked like they might be about headed to the loss column. There was a runner on second with nobody out. In the bottom of the ninth in Denver, the Rockies couldn't cash that in. They go to the 10th. The Dodgers bring their run around, and boom. Giants are only a half game up. 20 minutes later, they're back to a full game up. It is the best out-of-town scoreboard watching you can find. I actually, just because I'm so interested in what the frickin' Dodgers are doing whenever they're out there playing baseball right now, I've officially added them to like the teams I'm watching on the app.
Yep.
Because I'm tired of clicking over to the major league thing. I'm like, I'm monitoring the Dodgers like they're one of my children right now. So I might as well put them on the shortcut just to get them out there.
And you know what? Shout out to the Rockies for making it tough. You know, I think there's a world in which these Rockies and Diamondback series that both teams have left turn into mush, and hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah, no. Look, keep fighting the good fight, Colorado. Do it.
They're tough at home.
Do it. Be tough at home. Continue to be tough at home. The frickin' Dodgers are tough
everywhere.
Every time they get off a bus, they're tough.
They are so damn tough.
They're really good when they put on the their uniforms. That's right. That's what it is. And so we
want to say the royal blues or whatever, but now they could be dressed in God knows what color. So for just whatever uniform they happen to be wearing that night,
they could come out wearing puce. They're tough to beat.
I got completely naked
every single time I look at them. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. Like, yeah. Even if they've lost two in a row, they're still somehow 9-1 in their last 10 games. Every single time I look at them.
And every time you look forward at the schedule, you know, if you pull up the ESPN or the Baseball Reference schedule, and they have the probable starters, and it's just Urias, Bueller, Scherzer, Kershaw, Urias, Bueller, and you're just like, God,
it never stops.
All of those.
It never ends. It never ends. That is a starting rotation to be dealt with. If there ever was one, hopefully the Giants don't need to deal with it again this year. We'll find out. We'll ask Bruce Bochy about that. Is Bruce Bochy ever going to deal with a major league team again? What does he think the biggest difference, the similarities he's got between him and Gabe Kapler? Does he look at this game and miss it? Does he look at this game and think, I'm good? We're going to find out, and we're really looking forward to talking to Bruce Bochy in less than 20 minutes from right now here on 95.7 The Game. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
So we get an awful lot of baseball and a conversation with Bruce Bochy happening in about 12 minutes here on 95.7 The Game. But once again, we got a little breaking news from the NBA, and this has got nothing to do with the Minnesota Timberwolves. It does have to do with your Golden State Warriors. And today, Joe Lacob is $50,000 lighter in the wallet because Shams is reporting that his comments about Ben Simmons are tampering. You're just not allowed to talk about another team's player. And Warriors owner Joe Lacob has been fined $50,000 for violating anti-tampering rule regarding comments on 76ers Ben Simmons. That is from Shams. And okay, there you go. The good news is Joe's got it. He's going to be okay. He's not going to miss a meal.
When you said lighter in the wallet, that's like me saying I lost 6 ounces yesterday. No one's noticing. You can't tell.
No, but
I wear it the same.
What's funny, though, is that Joe Lacob saying what he said is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars in free PR to the NBA. And what they should really do is fine him $50,000 and then give him like a little bonus check for keeping us in the middle of a conversation as the NFL and baseball is dominating conversations.
Yeah. I mean, listen, no one at the NBA office is super mad. $50,000 to charity, everything's going to be fine here. But I do think it speaks, I mean, if we're talking about why does an owner get fined for saying something like this, in principle, it's because he should not be allowed to affect the value of a player on another team. And if anything, I would think these comments would have, you know, pushed Simmons' value, if at all, in the downward direction. So again, I don't understand why any Warrior fan would be bothered by him saying that, but I get the NBA. You can't just have owners running around talking trash about other people's players, or boosting them up for that matter. So understandable, but a big pile of nothing for the most part.
Yeah. I understand the logic behind it too, but there is no one who has done more to diminish the value of Ben Simmons than Ben Simmons.
Amen.
Ben Simmons's habits, Ben Simmons's question about professionalism, how much he is truly dedicated to improving what are clear, obvious, and glaring weaknesses to his game, or incorporate that in actual gameplay. Here's what I do know about Joe Lacob. Joe Lacob has an awful lot of contacts back on the East Coast. Remember, he was a Celtics minority owner before he became the majority owner of the Golden State Warriors. And if you are the Boston Celtics, you know what's going on in Philadelphia and vice versa. And I guarantee you that there was an awful lot of forward thinking, asking about Ben Simmons, and Lacob just wasn't interested. And I don't blame him for not being interested.
Yeah, the quote is, in some ways it doesn't really fit what we're doing. He makes a lot of money, and can he finish games? I don't know. Those are just very straightforward, reasonable things to say about Ben Simmons based on what we last saw. And it's frankly stuff that this show has said about Ben Simmons every time this conversation comes up, and why you don't want to trade a whole bunch of assets for that guy right now.
So someone on the text line is saying, didn't Matt Steinmetz say that Joe Lacob said what he said and said it's off the record? If that did happen, our friend Rusty Simmons probably just got his last interview with Joe Lacob. But look, I don't know that. I don't know. Maybe Steiny did. I didn't hear that part of today's show. I did hear the Mike Gundy rant, though, and I enjoyed that. I really did. That needs to be on the record. We might need that before the end of today on our show. It is the, 15-year anniversary of the I'm a Man, I'm 40?
Wow.
Yeah, time flies.
Well, that makes sense because that guy sure ain't 40 anymore, but...
But he's got the mullet of a 40-year-old.
He's got the mullet of a 13-year-old. That guy. I gotta say, if Lacob, Lucas, you said Lacob texted Steinmetz while they were on the air.
That's
interesting, because I would be surprised if Rusty did that on purpose, so I would sort of like to know how that miscommunication happens.
Yeah,
because it makes sense in a way. Lacob knows he can't say something like that in public in terms of the tampering side of things, right? Not that he necessarily cares about a $50,000 fine, but like he knows he's not allowed to talk about other teams' players. At the same time, I find it hard to believe that Rusty was like, oh yeah, off the record, no problem, and then just printed it the next day.
Yeah, that just all seems a little odd. Anyway, we don't want to get anybody in Dutch with anyone else.
Also,
but
it's really beside the point. At the end of the day, this was out there. It doesn't appear that Lacob is denying saying it, and it tracks perfectly with everything we've understood about the situation. So there it is. I think we can believe it.
I think we're good.
I
think we're good on the topic. I think I'm good. We got Bruce Bochy coming up at 3 o'clock. We're really looking forward to saying hello to him. Obviously, he knows three guys very, very well who are deeply involved with the San Francisco Giants, and a fourth being Ron Wotus, who made the decision to send Brandon Belt home last night, and that was something that Gabe Kapler was talking about after the game, saying that Brandon Belt, even though he's no speed demon, he does know how to run the bags.
There are times when you get into late-game situations where you have a guy who runs really well on the bench and you might like want to run for Brandon. And then you remember he's a really good base runner. He's a really heady base runner. He makes good decisions. He reads balls well. So that in combination with, you know, high quality at bats and an excellent defense at first base, he's just kind of a great all around baseball player. We always want him on the field. We always want him up at the plate in the big moment.
Look, Wotus sent him. It was the right thing to do. There were a couple of other moments in the game. Well, look, play worked.
Okay.
Game won. But there were a couple of other moments in that game where I thought, geez, that is really conservative base running, and it got to have it game, and maybe that's the way that he was erring early. And I don't want to say he was setting anyone up with his decisions to not send the runner and tried to catch him off guard there. But, yeah, that was a gutsy call. And Ron Wotus knows more about sending runners than I ever will. And that's a moment where a gamble means we can take a lead in a game that we really need.
It was gutsy and it worked.
It's not like they were cuffing Melanson around. You know what I mean?
No, you're right. You're right. And look, like you said, Wotus has forgotten more baseball than we'll ever know. So all those things might have run through his head. And maybe he thought, hey, look, even if it's going to be a close play, Brandon Belt's a big guy. He could probably just knock the ball out of the glove. I don't know what he was thinking. I do know if the catcher just holds the ball, Brandon Belt is cooked. So I guess it's the right decision if it works.
Sure.
But boy, was it dodgy. It was dodgy there for a minute. And when I saw Brandon Belt trucking for home, I was like, uh-oh.
How about the double play to end the game?
Brandon Crawford. So this is something I wanted to talk about today. Brandon Crawford is not going to win MVP.
No.
If people truly graded defense as half the game, don't you think he would?
Well, whatever argument that you would make that he gets to be MVP based on his glove, the same argument would have to take some support away from Tatis, who doesn't have nearly the glove work that Brandon Crawford has. So
he
maybe
makes
that
spectacular
would...
plays, but he also is not nearly as consistent.
Yeah, no, he can catch the ball. He can really catch the ball. Whipping it over to first, turning the double play, it's not nearly what Brandon Crawford does. Here's the double play that ended it last night.
And instead it's a ground ball off of Belt. They get the out there. The throw to first, double play!
Unbelievable.
Rodgers got over there to cover the bag, and the ball game is over.
Great call, Kruk and Kipe. On NBC Bay Area, Tyler Rodgers, man, he got his submarine and Heine over there, and he said the ball just found him.
It happened very quickly, and Crawford made an absolute perfect throw. The ball kind of found me, to be honest with you. But Brandon's play, such good defense and at such a fast pace, I was just happy to be a part of it.
It's not just skill. I've been playing with you for a decade. That's between Belt and Crawford. It's like the, you know, Joe Montana didn't have to even look where John Taylor was. Didn't even need to see where Jerry Rice was. He knew he was going to be there and just let her rip. And that's what you get when you spend so much time playing in the same infield as another guy. And it was a remarkable double play that was as good of a bang-bang moment as you're going to find in any baseball game this year.
All that is true, but boy, does Brandon Crawford make it look like he's been playing with an awful lot of guys for a decade.
Oh, yeah.
I've watched almost every inning of Brandon Crawford's career because I've been working in Bay Area radio since he came up, and I just think he's criminally underrated on defense. Maybe because he makes stuff look too easy at times, or maybe just because he's... when you hear him talk, not like a flashy person, doesn't draw extra attention to himself, maybe because he's never really been a dominant hitter. But what he does consistently, and I think just the effect of having him out there at shortstop every inning for a decade, I just think it's criminally underrated. And when he makes plays like that, like, I don't know enough about how they calculate the zone ratings and the defensive statistics and stuff, but I'm not sure a perfect throw back to a relief pitcher covering first to end a game on a double play is captured by that stuff. And it's the sort of thing that he just does so consistently at the highest possible level. I think he should be a legitimate MVP candidate, and nobody is looking at it like that. And it's not like he's not having his best offensive year, too. I mean, he's having a great offensive year. Nowhere near the year a guy like... I mean, Tatis probably has more production in two-thirds of the at-bats in terms of run scoring, but just... I don't think he should be overlooked as much as he is. I'm sure Bruce Bochy agrees.
We'll be talking to Bruce Bochy in just a little bit. And by the way, welcome to your 3 o'clock hour.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.